Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, yes, it's the super evil maniacal villain here at the Caller's Cookout, the cookout on Sports City Chef Network. The caller number 929-477-2759. Like TP says, you could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to hang out with the chefs. Every good hero needs a villain, and that's what I am, but I still need my hero, my boy, my buddy, the boss, the head honcho in charge on my side, TP Timeless. TP, what's going on, brother?
I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. The cookout is on and popping in Sports City. You heard it correctly. I am smiling ear to ear because you just heard what Barry, a.k.a. the villain, said. He said, my hero, my day is complete. Yo, listen, I wish I was in front of the control because I would throw the bomb, or better yet, I would do something like Dennis Green and say, he is who I thought he was. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to let him ride because I know what's going on. Oh, here we go. Beautiful, beautiful, y'all. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. He made my day. Like, that's a mega bomb. I don't need to hear nothing else. I don't even have to beef with him anymore. He said, my hero. Listen, people, y'all don't even know how, like, close I am to the Jordan family, right? Like, the kids, like, Ave and X, right? I'm going to do Ave and X. Yo, they love me. You know what I'm saying? They see the superhero come around. They hug me. We like, Ty, don't go. Like, when I leave, I feel so bad. It's like, just put your T-signal in the air. I come back around here. So, yeah, like, just hearing that, he called me the hero today, too, so I know the whole household is crying when I leave. So it's understandable, Sports City. So I'm having a good day. Crazy day in sports. There's a lot of stuff to get to. The NBA is on complete fire, shaking up and down, pandemonium. I can't wait to get into this. This is ridiculous. Let's enjoy this one, people. How are you, people?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I figured you would bring up my kids. I mean, you know, they're young and impressionable, but they love their Uncle Ty, Uncle TT, so... you know, if you love them so much, come help me babysit them. But it's all good. I got my other co-host in the building from the Colorado area, the 970, Big E, Easy E, Eric Gross. What's up, brother? How you feeling this evening?
Good evening, villain and the superhero. What a show in between both of you tonight. So here at the Caller's Cookout, it's going to be a fun show.
Let's get to work. So, I mean, serious, he'll be popping in sooner or later. You know, he's always fashionably late, you know, late to his own wedding. You know how it is. But we love Sirius, and I'm pretty sure Malik got him on lockdown right now. That's usually how it goes. But I put my kids to bed early. I don't play with them. I don't play with them. You know what I'm saying? But, no, listen, TP is absolutely right. A lot to get to in the NBA. Before we get into last night's epic game by Kevin Durant, I want to get into the news that popped off today. I mean, we had two coaches that are no longer coaching their team. It's Dan Van Gundy and Scott Brooks for various reasons. And we got injuries, one injury and one COVID protocol. So let's start there. and then we can dive into – let's start with the coaches, and then we can dive into the players real quick. So really quickly, PP, I'll come to you first. Scott Brooks unable to reach an agreement with the Washington Wizards, and then so I guess they mutually agreed to part ways. Scott Brooks out in Washington as the Wizards head coach, so now they're on the search for a new head coach. And then Stan Van Gundy, one season, shortened season, but one season in New Orleans with the Pelicans, trying to bring up that franchise with their star, LaMelo Ball, and obviously Zion, gets one season, 31-41 this year, and he's out as the head coach. TP, talk to me about both coaches not being there anymore, and where do those two franchises head? What direction do they head as they're looking for a new coach?
First of all, I'm going to help you. You're talking about the reverse Ball boy, so I'm going to get you right. Lonzo Ball is in New Orleans.
LaMelo
is in Charlotte. We're going to get to. I got you. Don't worry. I'm your hero. Don't worry.
I'm your hero.
You can sing the Mariah Carey version.
I'm your hero.
No. Listen, it's okay. And we will be shortly talking about LaMelo. Well, hopefully, if we got time.
I know it's a lot of stuff going on
in his kitchen. Actually on the grill. But Sports City, I know that if you're listening or paying attention to what's going on, I have been talking about both of these coaches, well, at least two of them, in which are out of their jobs, and that was Brad Stevens in Boston. That happened a few weeks ago, even though he's still in the organization. And Stanley Van Gundy, and it happened today. Now, it's funny watching him pull the trigger after a year. So it's like, why did you hire him? And his resume don't really look good other than 2010. He got to an NBA final up against the Lakers, lost that. But other than that, it's been questionable pass upon questionable pass, and they let it get this far in a factor where they basically keep getting their star or superstar hurt and Zion Williamson, and like you had to figure it out. And I don't think of the situation where I personally think Brandon Ingram's not going to work with Zion. So he's one coach that's leaving New Orleans. They can't figure out what coach to bring there. They had Alvin Gentry there. They got rid of him. They bring Stan Van Gundy there, who got a whole bunch of new pieces there. I don't think a lot of them fit, but he wasn't able to do anything sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference, where they probably played better ball than a lot of teams that were ranked higher than them based upon record. I feel like they were a better team than the Spurs personally, even though the Spurs have Coach Popovich. That was a hurt team, watching pieces leave that organization, and I think are on the decline trying to rebuild. And it's a situation where the Pelicans aren't trying to get out of the cellar, especially with the coaching that they're bringing in the door. So that's one. Two, the Scott Brooks situation, it's crazy because Scott Brooks actually went on a comeback tour with the pieces that they had there, even though they had to deal with injuries and COVID and watching Beal and Russ get back. And they went on a run and got to the playoffs. So it's like I got to give, you know, as much credit as I can to Scott Brooks, but I don't feel like he's their coach for the future. But they did it after Russ got there for a year. So it's like, what do they do if he leaves and Russ is already in an uncoachable situation? Who leaves after him? Does Russ leave or does Beal leave? This organization has been, like, funny. And I hate to call them out like that, but the Wizards have been funny for quite some time with the pieces that they've had there. I more or less want to look at management. The pieces that they've had there and the coaching together. So the Wizards have issues to fix, but I at least looked at least Van Gundy and Stevens the most. But Brooks' situation, like, I was on the edge of my seat watching that happen, and it happened. So I don't like to see people be jobless, but these guys have at least interesting pieces to make a change, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they said that the Pelicans and Van Gundy were engaged in talks for weeks, but, you know, I guess it just didn't work out and after one season. Eric, I'll come to you really quick. You know, both coaching higher openings in New Orleans and in Washington came through today as Stan Van Gundy and Scott Brooks are no longer coaching their team. So I'm going to come to you, get your opinion. Then we got Sirius in the queue. I'm going to bring him in. But definitely want to get your opinion on those two vacancies and where do they go next.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And I'm not a big fan of bringing a coach in for a year and moving on. You know, it's kind of a waste of time. You know, we see it if a coach gets fired in the midseason and then the assistant takes over. That's fine. But when you get a guy and you got this young team, let him go for a minute. It kind of makes you look foolish. You know, like Timeless said, it was kind of a questionable hire to begin with. But this guy does have a little bit of credentials. Let's see what he can do. You know, he was with Dwight Howard, Jameer Nelson, a young team, and, you know, took them to the promised land. So I would have liked to see that continue. But nonetheless, there is a lot of good coaches, potential coaches. I would like to see Chauncey Billups get this job. Chauncey Billups, I think, would be good. And even Sam Cassell, his former players, dealing with this young team. I think those guys would be really good for that job. But then to go to the Wizards, they got a lot more issues than finding a head coach. You know, are they going to keep that team together? If they do, maybe John Calipari, he's worked with, he's got a great coaching record, or you go back to Gasell and Billups. You know, they're my two favorite coaches that are free agents right now. It's Chauncey Billups and Sam Cassell. I think they'd be really good head coaches. They got phenomenal basketball IQ. Chauncey Billups, he doesn't need an introduction. There's people out there that don't know about Sam Cassell. This guy was a workhorse and a grinder, quality backup point guard and starting point guard for some of his career. And they bring to the table a lot of knowledge, and these guys, I think, would be able to work with the younger guys. But the question remains, how do you coach Russell Westbrook? That's the question. So I think one of the three guys that I mentioned would be their best bet there. But the Washington Wizards have a lot of questions moving forward. You know, this team has a pretty good roster. I mean, you got Beal and Westbrook. If they can get another piece and get these guys to play together, they can have a pretty decent shot. I thought they were they did make the playoffs this year, but at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, this team could be interesting to watch. And they faltered, and then they got it going, towards the end of the season and made the playoffs. So it wasn't pretty, but it is what it is. So, but, yeah, the Washington Wizards, they definitely have more questions to be answered than just the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like, New Orleans is going to go back to the well. Some of the people they interview, Jacques Vaughn, who's a very interesting candidate. Not sure why he doesn't get consideration to be a head coach, but Jason Kidd's name has come up, and a couple other names, Charles Lee out of Milwaukee. So we'll see where they win. But, you know, it just kind of makes me scratch my head. If you're going to go back to those guys that you interviewed, why did you even hire Stan Van Gundy for the first place? I mean, I thought, you know, he's a good coach. He had a good run in Orlando, but I thought his run in Detroit was less to be desired. So
exactly.
The fact that he got another job was very interesting to me. And Scott Brooks, I mean, you've been with Westbrook and you sung his praises and you hitched your wagon to that horse. And, you know, Westbrook is a phenomenal player and phenomenal talent, but you're elevating him so high and you're his coach and you can't win with him. So, you know, something's got to be missing there. There's a disconnect. So we'll see what happens. But Sirius, I'm going to bring you in. Sirius calling out of the 703, Malik's dad. We love Malik in here. So Sirius, what's going on, brother? How you feeling this evening?
You know, man, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here with you guys on another edition of the Call of Cookout. Man, we got a lot to
you're
talk
damn
about.
Right, it's
I'm
a privilege.
Just going to dive right in. You know what? You know, here's the thing. I've been talking to Thomas all day. This is the first time I'm going to talk to you, so let me be the first to say I hate your guts and mix
Aww.
Up. So with that being said.
Heavy duty.
Easy E.
Wow,
what up,
boy,
how you doing today, man?
Good, my brother. How about yourself?
I'm good, B. I'm good. But anyways, let me pick up right where you guys
left off. I miss you too, Sirius. I miss you too.
You know what, villain? You know what?
How's the Hawks doing tonight?
I hate you so much.
How's the Hawks doing tonight?
I don't know, but they're playing right now, and there's a team in blue out there they're playing against, but it's not the Knicks. That's all I'm saying.
Atlanta forgot to show up today. They forgot they got to take a plane to
Philly. But go ahead. I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead, bro.
It's funny you mentioned that because last time I checked, right, like they were up 18 before and then came back and lost. So, you know, I don't know what is it with these teams in blue. They have a hard time keeping and or maintaining leads. You know, but I digress. The Giants have the same issue. But anyways, I ain't going there with you today. So with that being said, this whole Scott Brooks, Van Gundy thing kind of has me puzzled for a couple of reasons. For starters, I was willing to bet my left toe that Scott Brooks would have found his way back onto the Wizards bench. For a couple of reasons, one of which, you know, Russ Westbrook, you know, vouched for him. You know what I'm saying? Bradley Beal, and according to what I'm understanding, you know, with me having Bootsy on the floor in the Metro, you know, the team players, you know, fought for him and loved him. But, you know, this is a part of the game where, you know, dollars and cents, you know, kind of, you know, reign supreme, and the two sides couldn't agree to a deal. With that being said, you know, not so much players, but you know, writers and fans, you know, wanted him gone. And again, it is what it is. Stan Van Gundy, man, I'm not for a guy giving up something he's passionate about. I can't do that. But this is a guy who has been the head coach of at least like 5 to 7 different teams. And in my opinion, you know, it just really never panned out for him. I just don't know how many more shots and cracks at the apple this guy is going to get before he changes, you know, how he coaches. You know, every time he gets fired, you know, everybody's talking about, hey, you know, this player didn't work right, or this player didn't act right, or this player didn't act right. You know, if all the times you go to the well, you keep getting, you know, popped in the head, at some point you gotta look at yourself in the mirror and be like, yo, is there something that I'm doing wrong? Do I gotta pick up a book? Do I gotta talk to, you know, a head coach? Do I got to go to a camp? Do I got to figure out a way for me to change up what I'm doing, because I'm keep getting, you know, popped in the head with these owners firing me and I'm out of a job, or I'm, you know, not doing what I want to do. You know, as far as who should come in there, obviously the names are going to – oh, he beat that. My fault. I'm sitting here watching the basketball game. As far as the names that are going to come in there, as far as the names that could potentially come in there, obviously the favorites are going to be mentioned. I'm along the lines with Eazy-E, Sam, for something like the Chauncey Billups. You know, I would like to see him get an opportunity. I'd like to see, you know, somebody else other than, you know, get an opportunity. Obviously, D'Antoni is going to be brought up. Jason Kidd removed himself from the Portland situation. All signs indicate that he is probably the next guy in waiting to, you know, take over for the Lakers. So maybe, you know, Thomas mentioned this earlier, maybe Frank Vogel is on the move. You know, we'll see what happens with it. You know, Brad Stevens, you know, stepped down in Boston. So they're going to be looking for a head coach. There's going to be a lot of new coaches and a lot of new faces and a lot of old faces and new places, and I would like for there to kind of be a situation where a guy gets a shot, you know what I'm saying, where a guy who has, you know, gone out and put his name out there but really hasn't landed that type of gig gets himself a shot. And, again, Chauncey Billups is the first guy that comes to mind for that. Sam Cassell is the guy that comes to mind for that. You know, obviously Mark Jackson, you know, is a guy who always comes up, but unfortunately he may have, you know, done himself in, you know, kind of blackballing himself, so to speak. But that's another conversation another day. But with that being said, you know, there's a lot we can get to, but I'll shut up and let somebody else talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for letting somebody just mess with you. Listen, so there's I want to bring this question around, then I'm going to pivot. I'm going to start with UTP. So there's of all the coaching vacancies right now, so you got Boston, you got Indiana, you got Orlando, you got New Orleans, you got Portland, and Washington now. Which one to you is the most attractive job right now? And if you're on mute, take yourself off mute.
That's a very, very, very good question. I've been to Portland before. It's not the ideal place to be, but they have talent there, especially if nobody moves, right? New Orleans is a great town from what I'm hearing. I've never been there either, but a lot of people are telling me to go there. And one of my favorite young talents, if not out of the favorite talents, is Zion Williamson and the potential that they have there. So that's tough. So between New Orleans or Portland, to me, ideally would be the two cities. If I had to pick between one, I'm going with New Orleans. The reason why is because that young talent is there, and they're looking like they're not going to make too many moves. Like, it's probably going to be two pieces that will probably be in and out, like one move out, one move in. That's probably as much as I see, maybe two leaving with Eric Bledsoe and B.I. if that happens. But other than that, I to build around Lonzo and Zion, and if they can figure out what they're going to do with Steven Adams, I feel like they're fine with the team that they have. So ideally, I'll say New Orleans, but Portland has a good amount of veterans there with Carmelo, Lillard, CJ, and Norman. So that makes it interesting for Portland, but I feel like Portland's going to make more moves than just Stotts. I feel like Stotts firing. Mm-hmm. I feel like a player may move. I don't know if management will or not. If they keep the pieces there, especially with Collins coming back, because Collins just missed the whole season of being one of their valuable power forwards. So I'd say New Orleans, but and that's just because I feel like more pieces will end up leaving Portland than New Orleans.
Yes, Stotts' name has kind of been floating around in Indiana, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he ends up. But, Eric, I'm going to ask you, of all the coaching vacancies so far, and, you know, there might be a couple more that come out, but the ones that are open right now, which one is the most attractive job for you?
The most attractive job for me would definitely be the Boston Celtics. They're a storied franchise in all professional sports. Mm-hmm. And you got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They already got some decent pieces there. They're just another piece away for having a contender each and every year. So I would be looking forward to go to the city of Boston. I know it's not that great of a city, but, you know, that's got its ups and downs and definitely some issues going around there. But just for the simple fact of the storied franchise, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, because you can build on them and you can create a dynasty. This team is the closest team to that's a ready-made dynasty right now. And they're just a coach and another player or two away from being a contender in this league for years to come. So hands down, the Boston Celtics.
That's an interesting take. I mean, there's a lot of pluses and minuses with all the jobs. I think there might be some upside to your point with the two stars in Boston. I think, you know, having Stevens in the office kind of is a little hindrance because he's kind of looming over you and the uncertainty with Kemba Walker and building the right pieces around their two stars. So definitely pluses and minuses. Seriously, I'll come to you really quickly. Of all the coaching vacancies, which one is the most attractive to you?
You know, honestly, man, I'm going to keep it a buck. It's right here where I'm sitting, the Washington Wizards. You know, you got a team that is significantly young. You got, you know, a future Hall of Famer in Westbrook. You got a walking bucket in Bradley Beal. The backcourt is legit. You play in the Eastern Conference, which is, you know, the weaker out of the two. And you got a team that's, you know, been together for a little bit, you know, not that Boston or any other team isn't, but, you know, the biggest thing that you need to have a team successful is a legitimate backcourt, in my honest opinion. And you have that with, you know, Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. So I'm going to say, just for the sake of being something, being different, I'm going to go right here in Washington, and, you know, hopefully somebody gets that job. Another name that I forgot to mention is Becky Hammon.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
what I'm saying?
There's
been a lot of talk about, you know, potentially this year being the first year that we have a female head coach in the professional level. So Becky Hammon is definitely catching a lot of buzz around NBA circles. So be on the lookout for her to potentially be a legitimate candidate to land one of these jobs.
Yeah, she will be a head coach this year, to your point, Sirius. That's a great point. It's just a matter of where. She's getting multiple interviews from what I've seen, what I've heard. It's just going to be a matter of when and where she lands. I mean, I think the perfect scenario is for her to take over Pop, and she's probably being groomed for that position. But, yeah, she's a legit candidate. I love TP's point. I think the young talent in New Orleans is very attractive. I like New Orleans. You know, the Fifth Ward is kind of rough, but it's New Orleans is a great town, a great city. They love their sports there. So,
plus, you're in the kitchen, so I'm a foodie, so you know the food down there got to be good too now.
Oh, it is. It is. I've been down there. It's lovely. It's lovely.
That
lovely,
gumbo,
lovely.
Man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I stayed right off of Bourbon Street, man. It wasn't even a party, and it was a party. So you already know. But listen, that's an attractive job, to your point, TP, with the young talent that they have, and they're maybe another piece away. So, but I like Portland for me. I think if you can convince – if you get the right coach – to come in there, Chauncey Billups or you know, Sam Cassell, to work with Lillard to make him happy and then build the right pieces around him. I think they have some talent there, but I think they're just missing that one-two punch that's a really viable 1-2 punch in the NBA. So I do think Portland is probably an attractive landing spot. But I definitely want to move away from that. Great talk, boys. I want to get into the injuries, but I want to talk about what Sirius had brought up in our conversations about the All-NBA team. So the All-NBA team was announced yesterday, you know, and obviously, you know, the first team was with Giannis, Jokic, Curry, and Luka Doncic and Kawhi Leonard. You know, that was an interesting pairing of first team. Second team included LeBron James, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid, and Julius Randle from my New York Knicks. Holla at me, Sirius. New York Knicks. And then on the third team, All-NBA, was Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, and Rudy Gobert. So, I mean, all these guys are deserving at certain levels. Maybe some could have been higher than others. I think Bradley Beal wasn't a third team. I think he should have been second team at the very least. I would have probably pushed Randle down to third team. I think, you know, Kyrie probably first team, not so much, maybe not over ahead of LeBron, but, you know, it's all, you know, congratulations to all the players that made it, but there's a lot of players that didn't make it, and it was a lot of head scratchers. And to Sirius's point, you know, that was like $30 million in the bag that these guys missed out on because they didn't make that that all NBA selection. But, Sirius, I'll come right to you since you brought it up in the kitchen. I know you had a lot of heat going. You know, talk to me about the players that did make it, and then the omissions. Who that didn't make the All NBA team were the biggest snubs for you?
All right, so I'm gonna talk about who did make it first, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna talk about who should have made it. That, you know. That I think got snubbed pretty badly. The first team, honestly, I really can't argue with it. I mean, I may have put Dame Dalla, you know, ahead of Luka just because preference, but the fact that, you know, the first team is what it is, I'm not going to really, you know, throw no shade on it. The second team, again, case could be made for moving Embiid up, Joker down, whatever the case may be. I would have taken Julius Randle and moved him either down the third team, or he may have been omitted, but he won the comeback player of the year. And again, as much as I throw shade, you know, to Barry just because it's villain, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the man did ball out. you know, until the playoffs showed up, and then he was on milk carton, but I digress. But the man did ball out during the regular season. I mean, am I lying?
I hate you sometimes. I hate you sometimes.
So with that being said, you know, salute to him, LeBron James again. Every year he gets there. The third team is kind of where I want to really make my conversation. You got Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, for me,
bless you.
You know, I don't. Thank you. I don't understand how Jason Tatum is not on this list. You know, I don't understand how Donovan Mitchell is not on this list. And I said this yesterday. I may have, you know, I don't understand how somebody like a Trae Young isn't on this list. Now, when you start talking about who's not on the list, you start looking at who you're going to take off. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to start right here on the third team. And, again, it's position by position, so I get it. But in my honest opinion, Jimmy Butler probably should come off for a Jason Tatum, in my honest opinion. I think Jason Tatum had a more put-together year. I think Jason Tatum is more, I don't think, more pivotal to his team because, you know, that's negating Jimmy buckets. But in my honest opinion, Jason Tatum should definitely be on this list. If you want to move up, you know, potentially Donovan Mitchell. Again, who you want to take out, you know, on the second team to get Donovan Mitchell in there? I'm not really too sure. Who you take out? CP3 can make a case to move up, but then you start taking out Steph Curry, and that's just stupid. Devin Booker's not on this list neither. So, you know, there are a bunch of people that, you know, had superior years, and unfortunately the way mm-hmm. that this All-NBA team is set up, you know, they take one player from each position and slot him in there. And honestly, in my opinion, I don't understand how you can necessarily do that when, you know, you got players like a Devin Booker who had a stupid year. I mean, this brother's year was insane. Gets no love. You know, Jason Tatum, again, who I just mentioned, you know, gets no love. Donovan Mitchell, who had the best record on the best team in the whole damn NBA or in the whole damn Western Conference, not on this list. So those are a couple guys who I'm curious to see why they didn't get in there. And again, definitely Jimmy Butler can probably come out of that way. And, you know, again, I love Kyrie, you know what I'm saying? He's one hell of a player, but, you know, I'm not too sure he had a better year, collectively than Donovan Mitchell. So maybe Kyrie comes out and Donovan Mitchell slides in there. You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, again, average a triple-dub. And, again, this is no shade to Bradley Beal. But, once again, there are so many people that should be in here that are not. And, again, this is not to throw shade at anybody who's there, but they had better years.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of guys that, you know, and I kind of agree with you. If the league is positionless, then the award should be positionless. So, yeah, it's always a head scratcher. You're traditional in some ways and not in others, but very, very unsettling. But I got a caller in queue. I'm going to bring him in, then I'm going to roll it back to you guys, Eric and TP Timeless. But calling in from the 914, friend of the show, Alan Chen. Alan, what's up, brother? How you feeling this evening?
What's up, Barry? What's up, Villain? What's up, everyone? How you guys doing? I heard
Barry
calling TP the
– Yo.
I heard Barry calling TP the master. Was that the master? Or
no,
was
the master. Come on. That's propaganda. That's slander. So I don't know.
No, that's when I'm playing in my role in The Last Dragon. So, like, if he wants to be still enough, you know I'm Bruce Leroy. So you know, he thought he was wearing all of that red, but it's okay. But I'm glad to hear your little voice, man, because I know I got some bones to pick with you. I can't wait till it's my turn.
I can't wait either.
Back to my seat. I'm gonna sit right back down in front of this old picnic plate. Don't worry.
I'm ready for this.
Well, Yeah, exactly. He's here. He's ready for it. We're ready. We're ready. But I'm going to kick it to you, Alex.
His hero. He said, I'm his hero. I'm his hero. That's what he told me.
Hero.
It was a slip of the tongue. I said a hero. I mean, you're a hero in the kitchen.
No,
I'll
you said
you that,
my
buddy.
Hero. You said he's my hero.
But
look,
you know what?
I'm not going to dispute it
because we can roll
every
the tape back.
I got him good.
Obviously, listen, every good hero needs a villain. Just remember that. You need me as much as I need you. but no, I'm kidding. Listen, Alan, so talk to me. LNBA, we had some interesting picks. We had some deserving guys, and we had a lot of omissions. I mean, there's only 15 spots, you know. There's always a snub,
right,
just like all-star games, et cetera. So talk to me about the guys that made it and then the guys that you think should have been on the team.
So you brought up a good point. I've been wondering why the NBA teams are by position. I've always thought that, like, it should be positionless. So if I was in charge of the NBA the all-NBA teams, I'd make them positionless, and this would be my first team, the five best players this season. So it'd be Steph Curry,
yeah,
Dame Lillard, Joel Embiid, Joker, and, you know, it's a toss-up between Giannis and Luka for the fifth spot. But I'm going to go with Luka because I'm looking at Giannis' stat a tad bit off from last year from his MP season. So those would be my five first team All-NBA. So that would put Giannis to the second team, right? Definitely knock out your guy, Julius Randle. And that would put Kawhi in second team. And I'm okay with that. Well, actually, no. LeBron James. I know he's the face of the league. And I know, I mean, but he only played, I think he barely played 50 games. So I think there should be like a games limit too. Like, I understand LeBron put up good stats, but I want to say he played like 45 games. He missed like two-thirds of the season. So I think there should be some kind of injury. If you don't play that many games, you can't be considered for the All-NBA team. So you take LeBron out and Randle out. You push Kawhi, Giannis, and then – so, yeah, so it'd be interesting because now the whole second team is – in my take, it'd be – so it'd be those three. It'd be Kawhi, Giannis, and then let's see. Because there are a lot of people that got snubbed that you guys are talking about. Like, let's see, Booker got snubbed, Russell Westbrook got snubbed, Jason Tatum, Trae Young – they all got snubbed. And so that would be my first team. And then let's see. I'm looking at I heard you guys talk about Kyrie. I actually think he had a great season because he pulled off one of those 50-40-90% seasons, and he played great. And I think he missed 20 games too, but he didn't miss as much as LeBron. So it's interesting because Harden and KD had great seasons, but they just didn't play enough games. So that means LeBron should be off it too. But I'm just thinking about it. Like Butler, Jimmy Butler had a good season, like 21-7-7. So he might have. I don't know. It's tough. It's very tough. But I think those are the biggest snubs: Booker, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. You can even say Zion was snubbed. He had a great season. So it's just a matter of, I don't know. They need to change it. It needs to be positionless. Because I mean, like Rudy Gobert should not be the top 15 player in NBA. I know he's, you know, defensive player of the year, but I just don't think he's, you know, if you're talking about all NBA team, you're talking about the top 15 players for this season.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Randle will be out. So it's tough though, because Sabonis had a great season. So it is tough. With I'm just going to go with my first team. My first team would be Steph, Dame, Luka, Joker, and Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Rudy Gobert not being in there. And that's the whole position thing. Like, you know, you have to put a center in there because that's the way they make the rules. But, I mean, I can easily swap him for any of the guys that got snubbed. Trae Young, you know, Booker, Tatum, Sabonis was even better. You know, there's a lot of names you can go up and down the list. TP Timeless, I'm going to come to you. The players that made it, you know, some of them get their flowers and some of them, you know, should get rain showers. And then, you know, there's guys that got snubbed, you know, that should have been on the team and should have been consideration. I don't know if you necessarily want to swap guys, you know, Jimmy Butler for Booker. But, I mean, like, who should have got a stronger consideration of the guys that got snubbed?
Well, I mean, I disagree with both of you picking on Gobert. If Donovan Mitchell ain't up here, then who would you go with? So that's the bone that I'm picking. You know what I'm saying? Like, And Gobert being a defensive player of the year for a third time, you lucky like him and Jokic ain't fighting it out, but they're going to go with the MVP. But it's tough that, you know, Denver had this sweeping situation, and I can't wait to talk about sweeping situations in a little bit. But I'm pretty fair with everything that they've gone with. I think that Kawhi picked it up at the end of the season to kind of help him get to the NBA first team. And the bones that I have to pick are more or less within the second team, especially the way things went down, and also LeBron James' situation too. LeBron James, I get it. He's the face of the league, or at least top two between him, KD, and Steph. But the amount of games that he missed, I don't know if he's a name that should be there, especially how things did considerably close down for the Lakers too. So that's one name that I question as well. Chris Paul had an amazing season. I think Chris Paul should kind of be flipped with Steph. Steph had the latter part of the season where he actually had that 9 or 11 game runoff where he started scoring like crazy. But if it wasn't for Christopher Paul and the effort that he brought from OKC going to Phoenix and having them be a second-ranked team in the West, and he's a second NBA all-team, like that's crazy. He should definitely be a first-team point guard over Steph. But, you know, Steph is more of the marketable name, and he's younger, I'm guessing, by, what, 2 or 3 years, and they're going to go with Steph Curry. But the thing that you know, I look at CP3 is more than just numbers. But people get hung up in statistics, and I think that's what they got caught up in putting Steph in there over Chris Paul. And I don't feel that's the right situation at all, because Chris Paul is actually the team that helped lift Phoenix from the cellar of the Western Conference, the cellar, to be a number two in the West and in a Western Conference final right now. Like that's unheard of. Like that's memorable. So that's one of my beefs. But everything across the board, like other than the LeBron situation, I feel like there could be another name that they could have disclosed there. But they're going to use him as best as possible until LeBron's legs and his sneakers are in the rafters somewhere. But that's the only gripe I have across the board with a lot of the All-NBA first, second, and third teams.
And you know what it is, TP? And I'm going to read this off for you guys, and I'm going to go right to you, Eric. So they do it by the points, right? And they do it first team gets 5 points, second team gets 3 points, and third team gets 1 point. But they're doing it by position. So if you looked at the cumulative points from first, second, and third place votes, Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid had more points than Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard finished with 323 points. Damian Lillard finished with 372. Joel Embiid, 352 points. Chris Paul had 311, okay? Now, that was below Kawhi, but that's pretty darn close. Because of the position Kawhi was in, he was the second forward up. The third forward was Julius Randle with 253. Mm-hmm. So Kawhi Leonard got pushed into the first team because of the position, not because of the number of points. Lillard and Joel Embiid had more first-team votes than Kawhi. Lillard had 38, Embiid had 28, and Kawhi had 28 too. So they were tied. But, I mean, if you looked at the total points as a tiebreaker, even on the second-team votes, Joel Embiid had 70, Kawhi had 58. So I'm looking at the positions as wrecking the way that this kind of fell out. That Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid, based on the votes, were more deserving than Kawhi, but because it was a forward that needed to get filled, Kawhi got pushed in. Eric, let me come to you. I mean, the way it shook down with the first, second, and third team, who of the guys that made it, who do you give flowers to, or who do you think probably didn't deserve as much? And of the snubs, who do you think were the biggest snubs?
I'm going to say Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum for sure. I don't know how, you know what I mean? I don't know how Jimmy Butler got in it and Durant didn't. I'm with Timeless here with LeBron James. This is just basically a popularity contest because he didn't play like a superstar this year at all. It was more of a selfish season for him, pouting season. He did put up some stats, but you look at greatness, and it's an overall player. And LeBron James lost a lot of that this year with me. You know, I was like, oh, this guy, you know, in his latter career of Cleveland, he's starting to come around as a player and a leader. And then with him jumping ship to L.A. with the Glory, that's just a Glory hound mentality there, wanting to come play for the Lakers and put on that jersey and try to, you know, get more accolades for himself. And look at me, I'm going to come here and win championships. You know, great players, Jordan, Kobe, Tim Duncan, you know, they did it with one team. They stayed there through thick and thin. LeBron James has bailed out and chased that ring his whole career. But with that being said, nonetheless, still a good player. But Kevin Durant has had an amazing season. You know, coming back from an Achilles injury and being able to do what he's been doing. Most players, when they get an Achilles or an ACL injury, they never come back the same. Kevin Durant is on fire, and he's proven to be a great player and a leader, you know, and for him to get snubbed is completely mind-boggling to me. Look what the Nets have done, too. So, you know, that's you know, bizarre for me that he was left off the list. And then, of course, Jason Tatum. Overall, you look at this list, yeah, you know, the people on there are deserving. But a guy like Tatum and Durant, I would have taken off Kyrie Irving or Bradley Beal. That's a toss-up. Probably, unfortunately, for Kyrie Irving, I would swap him out with Jason Tatum, just because Irving wasn't there the whole year and just his off-court tactics that he was doing. So that would hinder my vote for him for there. I'd definitely put in Jason Tatum. And then, hands down, Julius Randle, Jimmy Butler, those guys are gone for Kevin Durant. So, but other than that, you can't really – you could flip-flop some guys like everybody's mentioned. I definitely would have probably had Chris Paul first team just for the simple fact, like Timeless mentioned. Look at the Phoenix Suns and look at what he's been able to do, especially in his older, you know, half of his career. Steph Curry is a big name, but I would flip him. Steph Curry would be number two for me, and Chris Paul would be number one, just because the simple fact on how he performed and how he got that whole Phoenix Suns to play. He's the facilitator, and he's got these guys firing on all cylinders, and they're going to be tough to beat. Hopefully, I mean, he has a chance to win a title this year. He has a chance to get his ring. So put Chris Paul up there. But other than that, we can flip-flop a few, but everyone's deserving on that list. But for sure, for me, the head-scratchers, Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum.
I mean, I agree. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, regarding Durant, if you're taking Kyrie off because he missed a number of games, you know Kevin Durant played 20 less games than Kyrie, right? So I don't think we're questioning Kevin Durant's greatness in this season. He played half the season. So I think, I mean,
and
if
I
he had a full season.
And I wasn't that completely off that. I was just saying if I had to make the choice, Jason Tatum would be in there over him.
Right.
Over Kyrie.
And I think that's the problem. Okay. That's the problem because, you know, Kevin just didn't play enough games. He started off great.
No.
He was going to be a lock for comeback player of the year. And then once he got hurt and went down, he just didn't play enough to kind of get the votes. He just didn't get votes. That's, you know, people didn't vote for him because he didn't play enough.
He definitely would have been first team or definitely at least second team if he played
absolutely.
A full year.
Absolutely. But Tatum, yeah, I don't know why he didn't get more votes. I mean, I'm looking at Jimmy Butler got 7 first place votes. I mean, that's just I don't know. I don't know. I mean, not like he's not deserving. He's a great player, but that just made me scratch my head. Out of everybody on the third team, he was the only one that got first place first team votes. And I'll tell you one more thing, and then I'll move on. Guess who got unanimous first team votes? Anybody throw out a name, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Giannis.
I'll probably say
Giannis Jokic. And Curry.
Joker.
Giannis. Unanimous first team votes. Unanimous. All 100 votes were for first team.
That's surprising.
Jokic got one. He missed one vote. One vote to be unanimous. He got one second team vote, and that was probably to put Joel over him. I can't guess, but he got 99 first place votes. Giannis got 100, and Steph Curry got 98.
that's crazy. Interesting about Giannis because that shows you that there's a media that loves him because he's unanimous, mm-hmm. but then there's a media that like is tearing him apart right now. So
I mean exactly, and we're going to get to that really soon. But you know, the call in number 929, and I lost my number, 929-477-2759. You're here cooking with the chefs on the Caller's Cookout. TP Timeless, the hero, the villain, Sirius, Big E, Eric, and Alan, the Chen Dynasty here with us, cooking up some lovely stuff to get your mouth watering. Listen, Giannis is a darling of the media, but, you know, not playing like it from last night, and we'll definitely get to that. But I definitely want to get to the Rookie of the Year first. And talk about the controversy. I mean, Tyler Halliburton was considerate, but, you know, LaMelo Ball did get the award today. He did get Rookie of the Year despite missing 21 games over Anthony Edwards, who everybody thought was probably going to get pushed in because Ball missed some time this year. He did come back and didn't play as well as he did when he was really that unanimous pick early in the season. But regardless, he did get the award, and Anthony Davis did not. So, TP Timeless, I'm going to come right back to you, brother. I mean, the controversy of the Rookie of the Year, Ball versus Edwards, who did you have winning the award, and did you feel that it was rightly given out this year?
Rightly given out. I had LaMelo by a landslide. If that injury didn't happen, this probably would be unanimous. Anthony Edwards started to showcase his talents later in the season, and it really peaked once it's kind of like he got hyped once LaMelo got hurt, and then he really started playing ball. It's like the consistency had to be there for Anthony, not just in the latter part of the season. And the crazy part that I'm looking at is looking at the culture change of the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets were a team that were in the cellar in the Eastern Conference, were not expected to be a playoff team right now. And the change that happened with him coming to that team along with Gordon Hayward and him actually facilitating as best he possibly could while being on the bench. And then when Devontae Graham got hurt, he turned everything around and they started running the gunner with him. And him being that point guard facilitator to help them get over the hump, I think for years to come, you know, God willing, barring injury, he's going to be the face of that organization. And Michael Jordan has a great piece in him right now. Not taking anything away from Anthony Edwards, but they are in the bottom of the Western Conference. Like, anybody can go there and make an impact. Like, anybody. Barry, me and you can suit up and get a triple-double, like right now, both of us, if we want to. So, I get it. It's cool, you know, thing to see him, like, come out there and you know, have 28-point nights and probably have one of the dunks of the year, if not the dunk of the year on one Tonnaby, and the poster that he's going to have for all the years to come after this. But LaMelo Ball by far, man. The impact that he had to go to the state of North Carolina and crush it is out of this world.
It wasn't even close. I mean, he got 465 total points. Anthony Edwards got 309. It wasn't close. You know, I thought it'd be a little bit closer. I actually was indecisive enough that I said they might do co-rookies of the year. It wasn't close. Sirius, I'll come to you. I mean, the Rookie of the Year, you brought this up. I mean, the Ball deserved to get the award, and or do you think Anthony Edwards got snubbed a little bit?
There's no way in the world that Anthony Edwards or his fans or anybody else would think that he got snubbed. If you look at how much of an impact LaMelo Ball has made to that franchise, like he single-handedly gave the Ball name respect, you know, after everything that, you know, went on with Lonzo and D'Angelo and, you know, and all the other, you know, big baller brand and his pot. I mean, he single-handedly restored some type of respect to that name, and that's just how he carried himself on the floor. He didn't look like a rookie. He didn't play like a rookie. You know, the lights weren't too big for him. He amazed and wowed at every turn. As a matter of fact, I wrote a blog on sportscdchefs.com. Go check that joint out about LaMelo Ball, you know, being a thing. And we have to appreciate that. You know, this guy's the truth. you know, and barring any injury like TP alluded to, you know, Anthony L, with no disrespect to him, he will be an afterthought. You know, no disrespect to that man. But at the end of the day, you know, LaMelo got hurt, and now we got a quote-unquote controversy. But, yeah, it's definitely deserving. This man is a beast, and I hope he continues to ascend and takes this off season and gets himself together and gets some work in, works on his jump shot, and, you know, gets ready for next year. I'm excited to see this man play.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards, after the All-Star break, put up some nice numbers. He had, like, what, 23 points a game, to TP's point, turned it on late. But, you know, the impact that Ball had is hard to overlook. Eric, I'll come to you. Rookie of the Year, who did you have, and do you think Ball was deserving, or do you think Anthony Edwards should have got more consideration?
Hands down, Ball was deserving here. 15.7 points a game, 5.9 rebounds, 6.1 mm-hmm. assist. And barring his injury, this could have – I mean, the Charlotte Hornets probably would have been a playoff team if he didn't get injured. They wouldn't have had to play for
yes.
a playoff spot. And you know what I mean? So just with what everybody's saying, what LaMelo was able to do on this team and facilitate this team and get some nice pieces with Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward – if these guys can stay healthy and get a few more pieces, they're going to be dangerous. And they're a young team. That's the good thing about the Hornets. They're a young team, and they're growing together. They're getting chemistry. So Lonzo Ball, or LaMelo Ball, excuse me, is definitely going to put up some great numbers in his career. And, you know, that's pretty impressive for a rookie coming in, and you're getting 6 rebounds and 6 assists and almost 16 points a game, and you're facilitating the whole offense and making the team around you better. LaMelo Ball is just going to get better. So it wasn't even close. You can throw in Anthony Edwards as a close second, Halliburton third, respectively, and there's no problem here. There shouldn't be any controversy at all. Anthony Edwards plays for the Timberwolves, Halliburton on the Kings. They didn't make their teams better like LaMelo Ball did. You can give it just for the stats that LaMelo Ball put up. But the way he facilitated and made the team better, that's just more accolades for him. So, yeah, there should be no controversy at all here, folks. This is LaMelo Ball's from right out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, before he went down, I think they were, I want to say, a 5 or 6 seed in the playoffs. And then, you know, they had to go into the play-in game and, you know, got stomped by the Pacers. But he had the impact not only on the franchise but on the winning too, and then put up impressive numbers, better rebound numbers and better assist numbers and better PER numbers. So, but, Alan, I'll come to you. Ball or Edwards, who do you think was more deserving Rookie of the Year?
I mean, there was once LaMelo Ball was drafted, there was no doubt he won Rookie of the Year when he was drafted, honestly, because every night he was on TV. Like, he did a pass. LaMelo's on a highlight. He shot a 3. LaMelo's on a highlight. Like, no, he won Rookie of the Year when he was drafted. So, no doubt, I agree with everything that everyone said about Anthony Edwards being on a bad team, putting up numbers, impact with LaMelo Ball. Remember, he's been under a microscope since, like, 7th grade, and he actually lived up to the hype. And he was, you know, like everyone said, he made a winning impact to the Hornets. So, I mean, I'm not going to even continue further. My point is he pretty much won Rookie of the Year when he got drafted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came in with a lot of expectations and lived up to it. And the injury was unfortunate. You know, we kind of talked about it here. And Sears brings up a great point, you know, his impact. You know, you couldn't deny it. Everybody wanted to hate on him, including me. But, you know, the article that you wrote was apropos, and it was great. I mean, he was the real deal. He was as good as advertised, and it was good to see. So, I mean, Edwards, you know, you got your chance. You know, you got a chip on your shoulder and something to work for. But in my opinion, LaMelo Ball, it was his award to lose. And I didn't think, you know, even though he did get hurt and on a crazy, freakish play, he deserved to lose it because I thought, you know, he was the Rookie of the Year up until that point. So, you know, listen. Go ahead, Alan.
No, I just want to make a quick point. I know TP mentioned Anthony Edwards' dunk Oh, that was a nice dunk, but I'm going to give Dunk of the Year to Miles Bridges over Clint Capella.
God, I remember that dunk. There were some nice ones, too. So, you know, it's funny. Because you got me thinking about that dunk, and I was like, wow, that was a great dunk. But, yeah, LaMelo just deserved it. He was a deserving rookie of the year, and congratulations to him. And, you know, I'm sure everybody else that made the all rookie first team. And Halliburton, you know, dropped in the draft, but had a really good season for the Kings. You know, I wish he was a Knick. You know, that was a mistake, but, you know, he pulled it together, had a nice season. He had a nice run early, but I think, you know, kind of flipped a little bit later, but it's still, he had a great year, and all the rookies did. So, you know, it's just another great season for us. But let's get into the topic at hand from last night before we get into tonight's, you know, game that's going on right now. Last night, wow. If you didn't think Kevin Durant was that dude, I think you got something that kind of proved it to you. One of the, not only the greatest stat lines in playoff, there's nobody has ever put up 45, 15, and 10 in a playoff game. But, you know, in the circumstances, this team losing two straight, and I'm talking about Kevin Durant, y'all. This team losing two straight games on the road without Kyrie Irving, with an injury I thought, you know, is broken. Harden coming back, but not really, probably shouldn't have been out there. Like we kind of, I said when you texted me yesterday morning, Sirius, I don't think he should have been out there. He kind of looked like he really shouldn't have been there. Kevin Durant was asked to do a lot, more than he is normally asked to do, and he came through and showed why he's that dude. He said, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am? And scored 49 points. The only thing he did bad last night was missing the free throw to get to 50. He did everything humanly possible, played every minute of the game, and carried his team to a phenomenal comeback. So, TP, your boy Kevin Durant, former Thunder, you know, you've watched his career with intent. I want you to just talk to me about his performance last night. Where do you rank that in playoff performances all time?
It's got to be in the top 10. It's hard to, like, think of every epic playoff performance that you've seen, but the numbers is just the ridiculousness that he put up. In a 48-minute game is a triple-double. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he forced himself to get the assist. He had the assist already. The rebound total is like he had to do it because he was the best big man that they had because Blake Griffin is, like, sometimey. And DeAndre Jordan is over there sitting over there just collecting a check, BSing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like not only is he picking up, you know, Brooke Lopez when he can, but trying to, like, contest Giannis as best as he can when Giannis is in the paint or doing as best as he could. But 49 and 17 and then the 10 assists, like, that's ridiculousness. And I know we've seen LeBron have crazy triple-doubles and, you know, the runs that he's went on while he was in Cleveland and had those numbers even when they were losing finals. It was, like, incredible numbers that he's putting up. But KD did this with a, like, a 27% James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Like, James Harden wasn't even, like, able to run. It was like a skip run. And he didn't put up more than 9 points in the game. So it's like Harden was just a shell of himself where the defense had to pay some type of homage to him to not let him shoot any wide-open shots to get started. So that kind of like helped let the game be honest for KD to do as much as he can because the rest of the play out there, Joe Harris is actually stealing money right now. Joe Harris didn't even help contribute as much as possible. I think it's Joe Harris and Harden, is it? They were 3 for 21 combined. Yeah. They were 3 for 21. So it's somebody that they're combined with and the numbers were that low. And I'm like, KD was able to help will this team to a win. Forget the missed free throw. If somebody gave me 49 points, I'm not complaining. That's 50 to me. In my book, I don't care. I'm not crying. Get over here. You see the way Steve Nash hugged him? Steve Nash hugged him like I don't want to show everybody that I'm about to cry in your arms. Like, this is about to be Titanic in here. Like it's crazy.
I don't
want to
ever let go.
Right. Yeah, I got to call the timeout. But, dog, you lucky this ain't the locker room. This might be a love scene. Like, crazy. So, like, I've never seen that. I said, Katie, and this is what I said, you know, to other people. You know, I was like, KD's going to have to go off for more than 40. Somebody said, He's going to have to go for 50 or 55. I was like, you're reaching. Like, I didn't think that KD had that in him.
Yeah.
I apologize. I did not think he was going to go up for 48 minutes. He didn't step off the floor other than timeouts and halftime. Like, that's ridiculous.
And you know what's the craziest stat line of everything he did, TP? 49 points on 23 shots. I thought he would have to get 50 points on, like, 40 shots. He did it on 23 shot attempts. Wow. Serious. I mean, talk to me about the performance of KD last night. Where do you rank that all-time playoff performances?
You know, honestly, for me, TP said top 10. I'm going to have to say top 5, to be honest with you, because when you look at what he was able to accomplish, you know, he played every minute. The man shot literally like 70-some-odd% from the field, you know, had rebounds, dropping assists, willed his team to win. Keep in mind, okay, this is a Nets team that was down double digits for the majority of this ball game. James Harden played all of 2 minutes on a bum leg. You know what I'm saying? Had 5 points. You know what I'm saying? James Harden had 5 points. And by the way, if you guys are keeping track, it's an 8-point game right now, by the way. But anyways, James Harden had 5 points. Joe Harris, like TP alluded to, had 5 points. You know what I'm saying? He got help from one of TP's old homies in Jeff Green. That was it. That was the offense. You know what I'm saying, for the Brooklyn Nets, and they managed to win this ball game. You know, we could talk about, you know, Giannis and coaching and how bad Budenholzer looked, you know, yesterday, you know, not running any offense and playing iso ball and not taking advantage of mismatch, and we'll talk about that, you know, here in a minute. But ultimately, Kevin Durant just – went into his bag and literally wheeled his team to the victory. You know, I said he was going to have to get 50, and he damn near got 50. He got 49, so he got 50, you know what I'm saying, for this team to win. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you look at it, he's going to have to do that same type of stuff tomorrow in game 6 to get a win on the road. But, you know, salute to KD for people who are really trying to compare him to LeBron, and he ain't on that level and this, that, and the third. They quiet today. They quiet, and they should be, because that was special. That was really, really special.
Absolutely. They should be quiet. I mean, we're talking about Magic's game 6. His rookie year against the 76ers, we're talking about the Bird.
Joel Embiid's
Wilkins,
hurt.
Yo, he's been hurt. We'll get to that in a second.
He just got hurt again.
Give me more information. It's my fault. Get me more information. We're talking about Bird versus Wilkins in the playoffs. We're talking the flu game. We're talking LeBron for Cleveland in what was it, 2016. We're talking that level of epicness that we saw last night. The only thing that would have been special is it was an elimination game, but it was damn near close to it. Eric, talk to me. KD, his performance last night, his stat line was ridiculous, and how he willed his team to a victory, which everybody knew he needed to, and he did it in spades. Talk to me about his performance last night.
Yeah, that was along the lines of the great Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, just absolutely dominating and willing your team to win in the playoffs. If it wasn't for his performance last night, the Nets would have been down 3-2 in this series. Instead, they're up 3-2. So everybody hating on Kevin Durant, they need to stop, because this guy was great before this performance tonight. He just reassured all the naysayers out there, and had a phenomenal performance. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. I mean, it'll never get better than that, folks. That was an absolute show, and he willed his team to victory. And look for it to continue. It's going to have to continue with what the Nets are facing right now. They Harden was out there for, what, he played like 36 minutes last night, 46 mm-hmm. minutes last night, and only put up 5 points. You could tell that his injury was kind of nagging at him. And Kevin Durant stepped up. Like you said, besides Jeff Green, there's really no other person that stepped out on that team. So a great performance by Kevin Durant. It was a great game to watch. Very exciting. And history was made. So, yeah, I mean, I loved it, man. Kevin Durant is, he's one of my top favorite players in the league. So it's good to see this happen because he gets hated on a lot. And, not comparing him to LeBron James, look at his performance tonight. Look at LeBron James' performance in the playoffs. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a debate, is he the best player on the planet? You can make that argument, but, after one game, it's kind of hard to say, definitively, but, you know, he definitely put a stamp on it. So it's an amazing
Giannis seems to think so.
Exactly. That was the next – damn, are you serious, son of a bitch? That was the next thing I was about to talk about, too. But Alan, I'm gonna come to you really quick. Lament to me on KB's brilliant performance, and then we got Giannis talk to get to because the sister station, the clubhouse that TP Timeless does a great job hosting with those guys. It was on fire today about Giannis, so I definitely want to get to that. But Alan, talk to me about KD first, and then we're gonna throw around some Giannis slander around here today.
So, KD, I'm just a question for you guys. Have you guys seen the highlight of KD at Rucker Park? I think it was the lockout. There was the lockout, and he just started playing. Like,
I saw a little bit of it.
That's what it felt like.
You saw it yesterday. You saw it yesterday, because that's exactly what it was, bro.
He was at Rucker Park last night. He had a whole two bags. He bought out two bags, everything. He was on fire. He was just unstoppable, and everyone made some good points. He scored 49 points on 23 shots. And the crazy thing that surprised me is the 10 assists. I'm like, how did he get 10 assists? James Harden not playing, Joe Harris. Like, Jeff Green and Blake Griffin gave you 27 and 17, respectively. But, like, no one, like, I don't know how he got 10 assists. And then to add to it, he had three steals and two blocks. And I'm like, what else did he need to do? So that was one of the most epic performances. I caught the fourth quarter, so I caught the tail end of it. He had the plays, like, if that was the Garden, the Garden would have been, like, New York City would have been shaking because he had that place rocking. And it felt like he was at Rucker Park. But, yes, KD went to work last night. And I know people – that one thing I made a point to someone, that's the KD people want to see, not the one that goes to Golden State and teams up with, you know, the Warriors. People want to see that KD, and he showed that he can be that guy. I mean, imagine seeing this every night is what everybody wants out of KD. That's why everyone's so disappointed that he went to Golden State, you know, because they know that KD has it in him to do what he did last night. I know he wanted to play at Golden State. He wanted to go to Golden State because he liked the way they play, and he was able to just be a killer on Golden State. But he showed last night that he can – I honestly, right now, as we speak, I think he is the best player on the planet right now. So yes, he was all in his bag last night. Oh, regarding Steve,
you know what?
Nash,
you know,
hug, Steve Nash.
Go ahead.
No, TP mentioned the hug with Steve Nash. Steve Nash better give Durant a hug because Steve Nash, honestly, I don't know if he really coached last night. I think he just said, "Give the ball to KD." He better give KD a hug and more.
I don't know if that's a true statement, though.
He did.
I don't know if that's
a
true statement. Like,
we can talk about that.
Yeah, he did. And me and TP were talking about this earlier. So here's the thing. You know, you have to respect James Harden. You have to respect Joe Harris. You know what I'm saying? So we all played the game. We understand what four corners is. So you put these cats in the corner, you give KD room to operate and do what he did. You know what I'm saying? So by leaving them on the floor, even though they couldn't throw it in the ocean standing on the shore, you have to respect them because at any moment, them Bama's going to erupt, and it's a wrap. So by them being on the floor, it gave KD space to operate. You know what I'm saying? Jeff Green was hitting open stop in the corner. You know, he stuck with the hot hand, you know, and Jeff Green played – he had a career high. This man ain't scored 27 points since he was a freshman at Georgetown. You know what I'm saying? So I think Steve Nash, our coach Budenholzer, which we're about to get to in a minute, but, yeah, Steve Nash coached his tail off yesterday.
Yeah, he did, and I definitely feel like he out-coached Budenholzer, yeah, I mean – the thing that was Alan, you put up a great
Steve Nash was coaching.
That's what he gets paid to do.
He didn't stand up, but one time for a timeout with KD, hit the three and he hugged him. Like, he don't have to coach them.
Oh, come
well,
on.
I mean,
come
see,
on.
He's
I mean,
not coaching.
Here's the thing, TV.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
Here's the thing, like, KD's going to do KD stuff. Like, I mean, greatness takes, you know, why is this, oh, my goodness, that's a two-point game. I need to
this
stop watching
horrible.
This game.
Yo, Philly lose this game, bro.
This
I'm not going to wait to, like, get out of this topic because it's like, this is ridiculous that Philly is blowing this. This looks horrifying. This is a horror film.
Well, I
yo,
mean,
this,
once,
this
they,
is a
once they blow
horror.
It.
Yo, listen. Check this out. I'm going to say this right now. Yo, listen, I'm going to say this right here, right now. If Atlanta win this game and win this series, fire Doc Rivers, yo. Fire Doc Rivers.
Wow.
They had this type of lead and are blowing it. No lead is safe for them. They can't hold the lead.
No, I don't think it's fire Doc Rivers, TP. I think it's break up the band because I just really don't feel like Simmons and Embiid.
I kind of want Atlanta to win this. I want Atlanta to win this.
He wants Atlanta to win it.
This is embarrassing if they lose this game. This is embarrassing if they lose this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna put Yankees one. So I'm gonna,
yeah, and look at the play that just happened. I mean, come on, you got to play better defense like that. You knew he was gonna try to get you to foul him shooting a three, and he bit that bait like a trout on power bait, folks.
Yeah, this is horrible.
I mean, that's pathetic. It's horrid. I mean, I definitely don't want to move off the topic. When the game is over, we can lament because when the game is over, TP, we're gonna lament because. They were up by as much as, 30, 32, 30?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
it was something crazy.
Unreal.
This is unachievable.
And you know what was funny?
I was watching something today,
and they said about the Nets game that they didn't feel like the Nets were out of it, even though they were down about maybe 18, 20 points, because the way you could score in this league is so wide open and so many three-point shooters. You have to be up by, like you said, by 30-something to say comfortably that you are going to win this game, that it's over. They're up by 32, and they're losing right now at home. Lord help them. Somebody put some holy water on them or something because they need to get saved and sanctified. But, I mean, listen.
Hallelujah.
One thing that Alan said about KD, and then I want to talk Giannis. I definitely want to get into him. KD has never been asked to be like a facilitator, but we know he can do it, and he did it last night. He can get 10 assists because he had Westbrook that can get monster assist numbers, and Steph Curry and company. So he's never been asked to do that. He's never been asked to be a rebounder, even though he's 7 feet and can rebound. Because he's had rebounders like Ibaka and Draymond Green that do that kind of dirty work. And he hasn't been asked to be a defender because he's had Draymond Green and company and your boy Robinson. He hasn't had to be a defender. But we know he can do everything on the court. He just hasn't been asked to do it like LeBron's asked to do it. You know what I mean? So to see him do it and when they need everything from him, every ounce, and in 48 minutes, was a sight to behold, and I just want to definitely give him his flowers. But on the other side, and I said this on the clubhouse, and I got shit for it, but I don't care because, you know what, I'm going to say it. Giannis, a two-time MVP, a defensive player of the year, had a great line, what, 32-some-odd points, 11 rebounds. But you were up big in this game on the road, had them on the ropes, and you let them off the hook. You let them off the hook. And that's what I felt like happened. I don't even know where to start.
Wow.
I'll start with you because I don't know where to start with this one, with Giannis and the Bucks' performance last night. Are they done?
Yeah.
And can Giannis be that guy? He's a two-time MVP, but can he be that guy that leads them to a championship?
I'm not going to say that they're done because ultimately, again, James Harden is a shell of himself. He really is. And so I'm not going to expect KD to go out there and have that type of Rucco Park-type performance two consecutive games. But if I am Giannis Antetokounmpo, I take a good look at myself in the mirror, this shit personally, excuse my French, but I take this joint personally, like on some straight MJ-type stuff, because you got punked to the ultimate level. For example, it is crunch time. You got James Harden on you with one leg. Okay, this man has one knee, and you shoot a fadeaway jumper? Like, what in the world? Like, where the basketball IQ on this brother is staggering. And I don't know if it's coaching, because I understand you got to call, you know, you got to run the play that's called, and I'm not understanding, you know, I forget exactly the sequence of plays, if they was in transition, but ultimately you got a dude with a bum wheel on you and you bail him out. Again, I've said this several times. I know three of the five of us sitting here have played this game on some significant level before. We've also all played football. When you know a brother is down and brother's playing hurt, there is no malice, there's no ill will, there's no hard feelings, but I'm coming directly at you because at the end of the day, I'm 100% and you're not. And my job is to get buckets. And you bail him out by shooting a fadeaway jumper like that. Like, let's keep it a buck. Yeah, Jay ain't even wet like that, my G. Like, this is the one time that you do your only move. Giannis has one move. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got no dream shake. He ain't got no drop step with a fadeaway. He ain't got no step back. This brother has one move. You put your foot on the hardwood, take your crab dribble, and put your testicles in the basket. Like, I don't understand why he didn't do that. And crunch time, and I'm not going to even talk about the fumble pass. I'm not going to even talk about all that, the missed free throws and this, that, and the third. But ultimately, you bailed the Brooklyn Nets out by shooting a fadeaway jumper. That's the shot they want you to take. And you get that to them because you feel as though you can hit that. Like, that's just bad coaching.
They have 3 points,
coach. So,
baby.
Like, oh, they got about three. You know, they about to come back and win this ball game. Yo, I cannot wait.
Philly's about to lose.
What a shot.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Philly's
it's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's
wow.
A wrap. I love this. I love this so much. But anyway, so, Giannis, I understand.
Hats off to Nate McMillan.
And if that's a three,
remember this is the guy that the Indiana Pacers fired for whatever reason.
For no
keep
reason.
Do you know what basketball team Nate McMillan played for? Anybody? Nobody?
No, nobody. You know
what?
The
Seattle
Supersonics. He played with the Sonics. He played with the Sonics. He played
thank
with
you
the Brothers from. He ran with Kemp and. And Peyton
yeah,
and Hershey and them guys, you know,
thank
Perkins.
This is beautiful.
Philly knows history now.
He knows history.
I know. I've been there.
Yeah.
But I digress, man. Giannis, I'm sorry. I need to see you do better in game six, and I believe you will, but – you have to eat this for game five, man. The game was in your hands, in my opinion, and you fumbled it away literally and physically.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Harden's with one leg waving people off. I don't need help on Giannis. We said it in Clubhouse. There's a lot of issues. Budenholzer with not calling set plays, no motion offense. Just, you know, I have a problem with Lopez at the three-point line. There's no side. I mean, they did not play a center, the Nets. They didn't have to play a center because all your centers, the guys that should be down low, are out at the three-point line shooting threes and fadeaways. Like, give me a break. I mean, there's a lot of issues. But Giannis, 49 points later, why didn't you guard Kevin CP timeless? I know you're talking Hawks, but talk to me about Giannis. I got to understand it. His basketball IQ is not where it needs to be. Can it get there? Can he be a closer? Can he be a winner? Is his legacy damaged because of this game or this series or the culmination of the last couple series that he's been in? Has it damaged his legacy? Will he ever be that guy?
He needs the right coach around him and the right veterans. He doesn't have the right veterans around him to, like, kind of talk him into situations. And the crazy part about it is Budenholzer is a coach that just can't get things right. While he was in Atlanta, he had one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference and fell right out of the playoffs, easy as pie. And now he's in a situation where if they don't figure this out in Wisconsin, they're already in their own beds, going to stay at home. So Giannis is in a situation we don't. Oh my God, and be Mr. Freakum. But I looked at the situation where Giannis is in. It's bad. Yo, I'm ready to like go crazy on this team right now. For the start that Giannis, I mean, for the start that NB had it, to be where he is right now, that's something else. But looking at Giannis and him being the guy, and in a situation where they don't want to get him, oh my God, and me, miss both free throws. For him
how
to be the guy, hold on, wait. I'm trying to get it together because this is all happening to me. For him to be the guy, and they're trying to save him on the offensive side of the ball to not defend like KD or those other guys, like how Kyrie was ripping him apart in those first two games, or KD was ripping him apart in the first two games. It's like, this is the NBA that I don't like, is that they try to reserve their best players on the defensive side of the ball so they can be so heavily impacted on the offensive side of the ball. And for him to be defensive player of the year, for him to be an MVP candidate, for him to be first team All-NBA, I get it that they're trying to keep him on the floor. But it's some situations where he got to say, that's it, enough is enough. This can't keep happening on my watch or against my team. I got to do something. So I understand where people try to paint that picture. But you know that it's a weak point that he's not able to move as swiftly as KD is while KD has the ball and he's playing defense, either backpedaling or shuffling. So it is kind of a safe point for them to try and keep him away from getting in foul trouble because they need him there. So I understand what people are saying, but if I'd rather have Giannis on the floor, I'd rather have Giannis on the floor. I'm not doing this just to appease other people. I got to do what's helping our team win, you know, or try to win. Even though KD is giving us damn near 50 or 50, I'm counting it as 50, or if Kyrie's going off, going crazy too. So there's a lot of different components looking at this, but, man, this is incredible to see what Giannis is like fell apart at the end of that game, and for them to lose the game, having that type of lead and watching KD go off literally as soon as they cross half court. He just said, clear out, and I'm going to war with Middleton. Like, that was just horrible that Chris was getting busted like that. Like, man.
Yeah, and the problem is, like, you're a defensive player of the year, and it's not like you're going to stop. Not a lot of people can stop KD, let's be clear. You know, respect the game
no
and KD, but guard him. Guard him. Like, I said it on the Clubhouse, and I got crap for it because they just didn't understand where I'm coming from. But, like, in the fourth quarter of a football game, did you ever see Darrell Revis or Deion Sanders or Rod Woodson duck somebody, duck the best receiver, even though they know they want to get them the ball? That's the mentality you got to have. And it's like, I get it. Giannis is a guy that listens to his coach. Like, last year after the playoffs, that's what the coach called. That's what I did. He doesn't have it in him to say, no, I don't care what you think. I'm guarding him because he comes from a European style that's like worse than
college basketball, the coaches over there are God. You do what they say. That's it. There's no debate about it. But at some point, you got to say, I'm the dude. I'm a two-time MVP. I want some of that. I got to do something to stop him, slow him down, take control of this game. I mean, Eric, I mean, talk to me about Giannis. I mean, his performance, does it kind of ruin his legacy a little bit? And is it championship or bust to kind of prove the naysayers wrong about him? Is he overrated? A lot of people do say that. I mean, what do you think about Giannis in his performance?
Well, I'm going to say it like this, and he's supposed to be. Once you know what failure feels like, determination chases success. This guy hasn't learned from his failure. Superstars in this league adjust. Like you just said, Villain, I'm not going to let this happen to me or my team. I'm tired of letting this happen. Year in and year out, the Milwaukee Bucks are favored to go to the NBA Finals, and stuff like this happens. Giannis should have been taking it to the paint, exploiting Harden, and you're not going to stop KD, but you could slow him down a little bit, play some defense. This is a game that they should have won. In all reality, the Milwaukee Bucks should have took a 3-2 series lead. Granted, Giannis had 34 points, but when you have a superstar like Durant stepping up, and we've seen this years, I'm just going to use an example of the finals back, Sixers and the Lakers, Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson. They both were going off, out of control, matching each other. You got to keep pace and match what's going on. And Giannis didn't step up to the test. He should have just been bringing it in the paint, make Harden stomp him. He's injured, like everybody said. I mean, you have a mismatch. Okay, Kevin Durant's on fire. Well, let's try to slow him down. Let me get out there and try to play some defense on him. It didn't happen. So I'm going to say, yeah, Giannis is overrated just in the fact that he has not elevated his game. He has not learned from his mistakes. He's going to put up stats, but we don't play. You play this game to win. And when it counts, Giannis has not stepped up to the plate. They had a great chance to be up 3-2. They had a great chance to win this series after they had 3-2. Now they're going to have to come back and win two straight games against this Brooklyn Nets team. And it's going to be extremely hard to do. After what I saw last night, I don't know if that's possible. They had the chance. Kevin Durant was the only one going off. They had the perfect chance. Harden injured. Kyrie not out there. You're not going to get too much of a better chance than that in the NBA playoffs. And you blow it, it's unacceptable.
And not only that, though, Eric, think of how the series started. Everybody thought it was going to be a really tight series because of the fact that Harden got hurt in game one, and they might have been able to steal game two or take game one after he got hurt. They got obliterated. Like, that's a slight on him as well. So, it's just a bad look. And after the Raptors series 2 years ago, and then, this series with the Heat last year in the bubble, Giannis's legacy is taking a shot. And, he's got to do a lot of work to clean it up. I mean, Alan, I'll come to you, but, I just got to say, you're not a shooter. That's not who you are. You are who you are. You will never be a shooter. Figure out how to be a winning player without trying to sit at the three-point line and shoot threes because they give you threes. Get your behind in the post and dominate. You're not a shooter. You will never be a shooter. Your form is horrible. Your knees touch together when you shoot. Like, they're kissing each other. It's not happening. It's not working. It's not how it's going down. Figure out another way to do it, man. Like, Alan, talk to me about Giannis. Where do you see him right now? Is his legacy damaged, like I said? Can he rebound from this loss? Can the Bucks, is Budenholzer, is he done? Like, what are we talking about with the Bucks right now?
So regarding Giannis, the best analysis I've heard about Giannis right now is from Gilbert Arenas on his podcast. He said Giannis right now is going off by his raw talent skill. For him to take to the next step. He had to refine, like, skills that are needed in today's NBA, which is outside shooting, free throw shooting. And like a couple of you mentioned, he has no post moves. He literally just, you know, he just dribbles, you know, and he just gets to the paint and he just muscles through. And we've said it before, he's literally a three-and-a-half-quarter MVP because you can't count on him in the last few minutes because the reason why he faded away against Harden, because Harden was just going to hack him. And that means he would have to go to the free-throw line. That's why he fumbled that pass at the end because he was thinking about going to the free-throw line. So if he was like KD and an 88% foul shooter, like Giannis would be, like, incredible. But he's not Kevin Durant. I think everyone wants him to be that, but he is very limited in his skill set. He has amazing raw skill and talent, but he's very limited in his skills. And until he finds a way, I don't know if he will, he's always going to have those limitations. I know he's a two-time MVP, but, you know, Steve Nash was a two-time MVP, and people, you know, said, how is he a two-time MVP when he doesn't play any defense, Steve Nash? So, you know, I don't think his status is going to be diminished. He's just, I don't know, I think people are expecting, he is two-time MVP, he is the defensive player, yet people want more out of him, but I don't know if he has it. I just don't see it. I don't see him becoming a better shooter. I don't see him becoming a better free throw shooter, and those are two things he really needs right now, because that's what he's lacking, and that's why he can't be counted on in the fourth quarter. But I also think the coaching staff, the Bucks need to change it up. Like, KD's going for 50, right? And he's cooking. Mm. Why don't you double team him at half court? Bring, you know, Middleton sticking him one on one. Bring Giannis to double team. Let him pass it to Harden. Let him pass it to Joe Harris. Let him shoot. Let him pass it to Jeff Green. Let them guys beat him. Why did they just leave Chris Middleton on the island the entire fourth quarter? I'm watching him like, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel bad for Chris Middleton. And the thing about Chris Middleton is he's playing KD all night, right? He's going to be tired. I actually think him and Drew Holiday need to be the closers for the Bucks because they're the ones who are better shooters from three, from mid-range free throws. They need to run more plays for them in the fourth quarter and not go through Giannis because he just can't hit free throws. So it's on Giannis. It's on the coaching staff. And I think if the Bucks lose the series, Budenholzer is definitely out because I think TP mentioned that he had a chance with the Hawks. He had a good team, and they flamed out, and I think he didn't last long in Atlanta. So I think if he's out, if they lose game six, like, he's definitely going to get fired. I don't think they're going to lose game six, though, because, one, I don't think KD is going to have another 49, 17, and 10 night. I doubt Jeff Green's going to hit another 7 threes. And then the Bucks have home court. So I think they'll be okay for game six. And game seven, you never know what happens. But if the Bucks lose, Budenholzer is definitely out. Regarding Giannis sticking KD, that just isn't going to work because – I mean, I asked someone this. Would you put Rudy Gobert? Rudy Gobert has three defensive players. Are you going to put Gobert on Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant's just a unicorn. Like, he does things no one else can do. Like, everyone tries to compare him to LeBron. He's not LeBron. LeBron likes to take on the, you know, the pressure of being the playmaker and stuff. KD just wants to be a sniper. He wants to score 50 every night if he can. But, no, Giannis cannot be guarding KD. I understand you want him to man up, but that isn't a good look for Giannis because he just doesn't – he's an interior defender. You mentioned Darrell Revis. Like, Giannis is more of like a free safety. Like, he's covering the backside, the rim. He's not like an in-your-face defender, one-on-one, sticking like wings, especially not KD. I mean, I know people said that, well, Giannis stuck Jimmy Butler last year, but Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant are completely two different players. So that's my take. I think we've talked about it earlier this season. I think Giannis is Giannis right now. That's his peak. That's who he is. He's just, you know, going to be that guy that, you know, gets his 30 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, but he's not going to be able to win games. And that's not – I mean, if he goes down as, you know, two-time MVP, couple defense player year of the awards, and, you know, averages 28 for his career, his status is going to be fine. But he might not have a ring to go with it.
I mean, I think his physical talents have taken him as far as it can go, and it's pretty damn good, two-time MVP and all. But, you know, he needs a post game. Get your behind. I said it. Get your behind in Houston. Call up Hakeem Olajuwon and work this offseason. Work. Because what you're doing right now is not winning. It's not winning you chips. I mean, if anything that KD's performance proves, playoffs matter. And performances in the playoffs matter because nobody was talking about KD as one of the best in the game
in the regular season, but now he's had these playoff performances, and now he's the best on the planet. Playoffs matter. That's why I gave Russell Westbrook such shit, because it's like, it's not the regular season. The playoffs matter. I want to see you do it when it counts, when it's winning time, when the pressure is high. Giannis isn't doing it when the pressure is high. That's my problem with him. So it's like, I don't know, man. He's got to get his IQ up, to your point, boys, and he's got to get in the gym and figure out, how can I help my team win? What I'm doing right now is not enough. What else can I do to help this team win? And maybe it is getting a better closer, because Middleton's a good player. He's an all-star, but he's not an all-star every year. They need a closer. If they had Dame Lillard on this team, that's a different story. That's a closer. So, I, you know, but Budenholzer, goodbye. I'm done with you. We're done. Your services are no longer required. And it doesn't take a game six loss. Like, this guy is not the answer. He's not the right coach. But, TP, I got to pass the mic. I got to pass the bone to you. The Sixers blew it against the hairless wonder, Trae Young. I mean, the floor is yours. Take it away, because I know you got to get your rant in. So get it going, brother.
It's not even like a rant. Like, this is like basketball 101. You just blew a lead in Atlanta this big, lost that game, and came home where you were supposed to have a chip on your shoulder. You were up 22 in the third. You took Embiid off the floor, put Dwight Howard in, and you guys didn't score a point till that joint got down to 12. Like, and then the bleeding's already happening. And now I got people like in a different scenario telling me that it's not coaching. It's like, well, who is it? Oh, Ben Simmons didn't hit a shot. It's like, okay, so put this all on Ben Simmons not hitting a shot. You already got that. You already know that Ben Simmons ain't trying to score. That's your bulletin board material. You're coming into the game knowing that he's not going to do anything offensively because he's scared of his own shadow. He run from himself. Like that's horrible that you lose this type of lead again. They showed as much as they were up. They were up 26 at one point in time in this game. And you lose this game, not to say convincingly, but you lost by more than a possession. Like ridiculous. Like, that's ridiculous, especially being at home. Atlanta people, if you heard me out here talking about Philly or whatever, it's more or less in a barbershop when I'm talking like that. But if I've said it here, Atlanta will win this series. I don't care if it's game six or seven. I'm not convinced by Philly, even if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals or make it to the finals. I'm not convinced by them at all. Philly is horrible. If they lose this game six, so that'll be three straight losses, fire Doc Rivers. And I'm not even – I'm and Barry, you know me, and Sirius, you definitely know me too. I'm not the type that want to hear people lose their job, but this is an epic collapse, especially while you are the favorite. You have one of the best records in the league. You have an MVP candidate. Like everything's going right for you this season. You're talking about trust the process. Trust what? Your management, coaching, all of y'all. And Ben Simmons, go play ball overseas. Go to Australia. Go to Europe. Go do what you need to do. Enough is enough with you complaining or understanding that you don't want to shoot the ball. Like, that's a detriment. Like, even Rondo will try to shoot the ball, and Rondo can't shoot. Like, that's ridiculous that you still play basketball, and they're giving you multi-millions of dollars. I could run up and down the court, just pass. I got two hands and two arms. Like, I'm fortunate, thank God. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Not bad. And you're a professional basketball. You're a professional dribbler and passer. That's what you are.
Ridiculous. Ben Simmons, get a jump shot. I was tired.
What was his total line? Do you have his line in front of you? Are you looking at the stats at all? Do you have his line in front of you?
No, I don't have his stats.
I do.
What's his
name?
I feel bad. I go at Sirius a lot. I feel bad that the dude got Sirius' last name. You know what I'm saying? Like, he be wanting somebody to show out within your family name. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
2-for-4. My man went 2-for-4.
How many minutes did he play? He only shot four shots?
38 minutes. He went 2-for-4 from the field, went 4-for-14. Yo, 4-for-14. Let me say this again. 4-for-14 from the stripe. Ended the game.
You're telling me almost every 8 minutes he shot a shot, or 8 to 9 minutes he shot a shot. Is that what you're saying? Every 8 to 9 minutes?
For the most part. My man went 2 for 4 from the field. 4 for 14 from the stripe for a grand total of 8 points. Their starting lineup, the only other brother other than Joel Embiid that had double figures was Seth Curry with 36. Tobias Harris had 4 points. This brother went 2 for 11 from the field. 2 for 11 from the field. They had 2 people the entire game in double figures. 2. Joel Embiid and Seth Curry. Their starters combined, like, besides them two, the rest of their 3 starters combined for 23 points. No, I lied. 21 points.
Pause.
Dwight Howard, nothing off the bench.
Pause.
Maxey, nothing off the bench. George Hill came off the bench and out of retirement and scored a bucket. What the actual – yo, people wonder why they lost. Like, I could pull up the stats for last game too, but I'm pretty sure it's something just like this.
Yeah, I mean
– unbelievable, man.
Ben Simmons, please go get – you're getting paid a lot of money. Get your behind in the gym and learn how to shoot. Enough's enough.
He's in the gym.
That's why he's in the gym.
Listen, he comes out to New York City and practices in the city gym. In the same gym that where you see Hoodie Mello practicing, that gym that they all come out to, LeBron and all them, when they practice in New York City, they all go to the gym. They got video footage of him hitting threes back-to-back, bro. There's no excuse. There is no excuse. Barry, you were saying every 8 minutes? No. Every quarter start, he shot a shot. That means every 12 minutes that he shot a shot. Dog, that is absolutely unheard of. Unheard of for you to 38 minutes. Okay, so if we're doing it by the averages, like you're saying with the 38 minutes, so what is every 9 minutes, 9.5?
Nine and a half minutes.
That's disgusting. Like, come on. And you're missing at the free throw line, too? You got the nerve. I'm up here yelling for him like I'm a Sixer fan. That's disgusting basketball. Embiid and them got to put up 70 points apiece. So you mean to tell me Curry and Embiid put up over 30 apiece, and Curry's more of a roll shooter, even though he's a dead-arm shooter, but he's more of a roll shooter, and y'all can't help him get – y'all can't put up 10 apiece? Y'all can't put up, like, 14 apiece while y'all are rolling? The second unit came in there and just fell flat. Y'all have to go to Atlanta to win, or it's over? Like, or it's over? And Atlanta shouldn't be where they are right now. They're a good story. They're a good story. Y'all supposed to be way better than them. They mauling y'all. They mauling. 20-point lead don't mean nothing. 26 back-to-back days or back-to-back games that they – y'all seen that lead? Y'all are trash. Don't tell me nothing about Philly. I don't want to hear nothing about Philly. Nothing.
I mean, it kind of warms my heart. It warms my heart a little bit because I do hate Philadelphia. Shout out to the Eagles. I despise that sports town. But, I mean, to your point, listen, that's why I said Doc Rivers isn't real. To me, he's not the problem. I think the fit, it's all about the fit. Embiid and Simmons, the experiment is over. It's done. I'm done with it. It doesn't work. Embiid can't be the only one scoring on this duo. Simmons, I'm sorry, find somewhere else to go. If you're telling me, somebody said, you know, I would never trade Simmons for Lillard. What? I'll pack his bags. I will drive him to Portland to get Dame Lillard. Are you serious? This dude does – I mean, the all-class defender, one of the best defensive players in the league, no question. But offensively, I need something. I need more than one shot every 9 minutes. That's not cutting the mustard. You got to catch up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about here? Eric, I mean, we were watching the game as it was unfolding. They blew a massive lead, the Sixers, to the Hawks and Trae Young. I think, you know, I don't know what's more devastating loss, either the Sixers losing the game or Trae Young's hair losing hair. I don't know. But, I mean, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at the Sixers implode again in the playoffs.
Eric, where do we go from here?
Yeah, I watched this game from start to finish, and to Timeless's point, this was not only an epic collapse, this was an absolute nightmare. The look on the fans' faces when this was all unfolding, and like we all said, hey, just a few points from some of our role players. You got to rely on Seth Curry to put up 36. Ben Simmons has 8 points. Come on. How can you blow that lead? If they would have just got a mediocre performance out of some other people, they would have won this game. But they completely collapsed. They did nothing. Ever since Embiid went out, like Thomas said, this team did nothing. They let Atlanta come right back. And then a play that boggled my mind, okay? The game is tied. Trae Young has the ball. Hey, okay, let him take that off-balance three-point shot all he wants. But instead, you're going to bite on that and foul him, so all he has to do is throw up the ball and get three free throws, and Atlanta takes the lead. It's just unacceptable. That's fundamentals 101 right there. And he just completely fell for it. And, yeah, the Sixers are doomed. They need to definitely get rid of Ben Simmons. What a joke he is. I mean, you're paying him all this money for what? Someone said, you know, he's afraid of his own shadow. Yeah, I mean, this guy's terrified to take initiative here. Score some points. Your team would have won, man, if you would have even had 15 points. But you're putting up 8 points, and you're supposed to be the Robin here? Come on. Get him out of there. The 76ers need to do a go back to the drawing board and find him, beat somebody else. Simmons isn't working. I don't know if I throw in the towel and just say that Doc Rivers needs to be fired, because Doc Rivers could have a good coaching plan, okay? But when his team goes out and executes like this, that doesn't fall on the coach, because you have a game plan. If your players aren't executing, you're going to lose. And what we saw tonight, their players did not execute. They're lucky they got a performance out of Seth Curry, 36 points. This guy's a role player. He's not going to put up those kind of points. They would have got blown out this game if it wasn't for Seth Curry. They would have got blown out of the water. It's unacceptable. Philadelphia is definitely going to lose this series, no question about it. And this team's a pretender. I was high on them at the beginning of the year because of the potential with Ben Simmons. I mean, he's shown flashes of what he can do throughout his career. He just doesn't consistently do it. And like we just talked with Giannis, you got to learn from failures. You got to learn what's not working and change that. And he's gotten progressively worse. In my opinion, Simmons has gotten progressively worse. He's not even an NBA player, like what Timeless said. Go to Europe, go to China, get out of the NBA, because this is unacceptable. So, and the look on the Philadelphia fans' face said it all. I mean, just sheer terror and devastation. Like, what is happening here? The boo birds were coming out, rightfully so. This is the NBA playoffs. On paper, you're one of the favorites to go all the way. You got the MVP candidate, Joel Embiid, and you cannot just rely on him to do everything. He needs help, and he got zero help tonight.
I don't understand.
Playoffs?
If you call yourself
about playoffs? You kidding me?
I
playoffs?
If you
I just hope we can win a game.
A legitimate point guard in this league, a legitimate player in this league, you get to the charity stripe 14 times. So let's keep it a buck with you. So 14 times, which means you should have an excess of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. You should have literally an additional 14-plus points to your ledger. If you're shooting horribly from the field, all right, again, we've all played this game. You're shooting horribly from the field. We all want to go to the free throw line. You see the ball go through the net, you know what I'm saying, get yourself a rhythm. Maybe you ain't gripping the ball right. You get the rotation, blah, 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 this, that, and the third. You went to the line 14 times, bro. You made 4 shots from the 14 line. Tonight, you made a total of 6 shots. 6. I don't get it, because I see the off-season videos, you know what I'm saying? We see the preseason games, you know, when he comes out and, you know, hits a three or, you know, does a step back and hits a jumper and does something outside of the paint. I wish I understood. And then, hey, it's a crazy thing. Like, we can't sit here and say that the 76ers are battling injury. I mean, Joel Embiid is banged up. Don't get it twisted. But this dude damn near dropped 40 tonight.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid
on one leg
was 11 for 13. Exactly. And he got banged up in the middle of the game. This man was shot 12 for 20. You know what I'm saying? That's close to damn near 50% from the field. My man went 11 for 13 from the free throw line. That's damn near perfect from the strike. This ain't on him. This ain't on him. You know what I'm saying? Again, people want to yell and, you know, get Doc Rivers. I mean, I'm not going to say Doc Rivers needs to lose his job. And, if he gets fired, so be it. But at the end of the day, these players got to look at themselves in the mirror and be like, yo, I'm not doing my damn job. I'm not doing what I need to do. Like, the second unit comes in and you don't score at all. Like, you get zero buckets. Like, the second unit had a combined 12 points. All 6 of the battles that Doc Rivers played today had a total of 12 points. That's unacceptable, man. That's unacceptable.
That's the problem. Alan, real quick, I want to hear your Sixers Hawk take.
So, was it TP that mentioned Doc Rivers must need to go? He might be onto something, because if I'm correct, Doc Rivers is like the only coach to blow like 3-1 series leads. I'm not saying this is obviously not a 3-1 series lead, but something's out of here.
It's 2-1. 2-1. 2-1,
right? So,
and it should have been 3-1, right? In that game, the last game, right? So that should have been 3-1,
yep.
But.
So,
and
you might have been 3-1.
You were 26 in two consecutive games.
So
yeah.
You probably would have found a way to blow another 3-1.
Wait, they got a guy 26
so.
The last game, too?
I think they did.
I think so, right?
Wow.
It could be Doc Rivers.
They were up 20-plus in game 4. In Atlanta.
I'm sorry, Alan. I don't mean it. This is just pure. Like my father was a basketball coach. I don't like to watch bad basketball. Like that's bad. I apologize, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Alan, real quick. Go ahead.
Ben Simmons. I mean, he needs to look in the mirror. I don't know. He might need to go too. But I mean, he is who he is. I mean, we talk about Giannis. Giannis is who he is. Ben Simmons is a big ball handler. He can't shoot. I mean, I know we see it in the gym and the workouts, but, you know, it's different. Like, I hit shots when I'm practicing by myself. And, you know, if I'm playing pickup, you know, I don't hit the same shot. So I know he works on his jump shot, but it's a mental thing. Like, he doesn't want to go to the line either.
Yeah.
He's just like Giannis. He don't want to go to free throw line. So, I mean, especially in today's NBA, if you can't hit free throws, like, I mean, he's a real, I don't know, he might need a new change. But then also you got. I'm looking at the stats. Tobias Harris gets paid a lot of money too. He only put up 4 points. And everyone was talking about him being a borderline All Star this year. So, I mean, like many of you said, like these players got to look in the mirror. Embiid is putting up numbers on like he's hurt, but they might need just break up that team. Break up Simmons and Embiid. Trade Simmons to like, I don't know, to like Sacramento and get like the Aaron Fox back or something and Buddy Hield, and that'd probably work out for the Sixers.
Fox always then get brought up?
He needs to get out of
Sacramento.
He's
that dude. He's stuck. He's stuck in
Sacramento.
We're not doing that.
No one knows what he's doing. He's putting up numbers in Sacramento.
Fact.
Everyone's like, who's there, Aaron Fax? You know? So he needs to get out of Sacramento.
Like, who's
and play,
Aaron
like,
Fax? Who's
Aaron
Fax, not Fox?
Bird, you heard the fact. You heard the fact. I was going to let him roll, but you called him.
I'm saying that's the point. People don't even know his real name. Like they know it's Fox. He's that dude
Fox.
In Sacramento. You can't even get, you know.
Oh my God.
Well, we got like less than a minute. We got less, and we didn't even get to Kawhi Leonard's injury. You know, listen, Playoff P better show up tonight. They're up in this game. I don't think they're gonna get Kawhi back. It sounds like it's an ACL injury. I hope not, but we didn't even get to that in the injuries in the playoffs. But, you know, listen, we were cooking. We had a lot to eat. Alan, thanks for calling in. Give us a quick plug and we'll get out of here.
So I know I don't call in every week because my baby girl Charlotte keeps me busy, and I'm tired, but it's always good talking hoops with you guys. I'm curious what whoever wins this year's championship, what everyone's going to put an asterisk next to it because, you know, now you got Kawhi possibly getting, you know, missing the playoffs. We got CP3. We don't know what happened to him, that he got COVID. Hopefully he doesn't, but he's in protocol. Like, whoever wins the championship this year is definitely going to have an asterisk next to it, as well as the Lakers last year. Everyone talked about, oh, that's the bubble championship. So it's interesting that you got last year's bubble championship, and this year everyone's going to be like, all these injuries. So it'll be interesting to see how it all breaks down. It's always good chatting with y'all.
Absolutely. Eric, give us a quick closeout, man. Great having you on the show, brother, as always.
Yeah, great show, gentlemen, tonight. Keep watching the playoffs out there. It's getting interesting. We could have some teams that have never been in the finals. I want to throw this out here real quick. It'd be fun to see the Phoenix Suns and Atlanta Hawks, or even the Brooklyn Nets for that matter. But on that note, thanks to all the listeners out there and all the supporters. Check us out, the website, sportscitychefs.com, all the merchandise, the blogs, the host. Everybody have a blessed night.
Absolutely. And make sure you get that stuff to me, Eric. I'm waiting. But I hope that
it's already in route, brother. It's already in route.
All right, good.
Should be getting that in the next
But Hawks, Suns, it would be fun to watch, but that's a ratings disaster. Sirius, give me a quick plug, and we'll be out of here.
Hey, yo, man, it's your boy Sirius repping that 412 and the 703. I wanted to touch on something before I stepped out of the kitchen. You know, before I came on today, I was looking through social media and something caught my eye, and I'm sure that it was talked about amongst the media and this, that, and the third. But LeBron James had something to say today.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna read it to you, and then I'm gonna get out of here. He said they all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the regular season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which is ultimately the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of prime rim rest, your pure rim rest, okay, before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff game, most in league history. This is the best time of year for our league and fans, but missing tons of our favorite players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. He's apologized for the fans, for them missing their guys right now. And to that, I agree, and I also disagree. You know what I'm saying? ACL injuries and, you know, whatever Kawhi Leonard is battling with right now is unfortunate, but that happens to anybody. You know, Kyrie Irving, he played the whole damn year for the most part. You know, he, you know, stepped on Giannis's foot on an accident and got hurt. You can't blame the start of the season for that. You know what I'm saying? CP3 went into the stand to hug his moms after, you know, sweeping, you know, the Nuggets out of there. My guess is he probably, you know, was exposed at that point. It's unfortunate it happened. Mike Conley, again, I'm not going to sit here and say the fact that the season started where it did is the reason why some of these players are not playing. But LeBron James does have a point because he sat here and was like, yeah, I think they're starting it early. It's unfortunate, but we can't sit there and push the blame to the league. I mean, all the teams, all the players are dealing with the same type of situation. You know, the Lakers didn't start later on in the season because they just came off the run. Everybody started at the same damn time. So, unfortunately, this is the cards that were dealt, and I refuse to have an asterisk, and I refuse to have, you know, somebody or the league look at this year's champion differently because it started before LeBron James or others wanted them to start. With that being said, I'm gone, man. Y'all be good. I catch with you guys on the next one. By the way, you're going to have a blog for me coming out in the next day or two. I got to go over the defensive players. I got to step up and make some moves, so be on the lookout for that. With that being said, I'm gone, man. Y'all be good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, LeBron, you don't run the league. I'm sorry. As much as you think you do, you don't. The rules. You're an employee just like everybody else. But injuries happen, and, you know, whatever. Sports City Chefs, get to the website, read the blog, listen to the podcast. We're on all streaming platforms, Amazon, Google, Apple, Spotify, Tune FM, tune in. You can find us. We're around, man. Get at us. Get the merchandise. Get everything. You know how we do. We got big things cooking in here. So holla at your boy. TP Timeless, you know what to do. You know how to send us off.
Alan Barry saved you. He talked about I'm his hero. He's your hero today. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chef.
Connecticut.